On page 138, I think that the Chevra that's here, most of the Chevra that's here, remembers we're in the sugya of the Chacham and the Tam. Two different worlds, both wonderful Jews, both are Mavakshe Hashem, trying to get closer to Rabban Shalom and doing their best. But each one brings into his life a certain mahalach, a certain way. This is connected to what we learned in the first Maim of Chacham and Bina. The Chacham, the Tam, but here Chacham means something else. Here the Tam is really, in terms of Chachma, in terms of that Madrega of Chachma, really the Tam is more connected to the Madrega of Chachma. These are two personalities, but of course, as it is with all typologies, most people are not a pure Chacham and not a pure Tam. You have people like that, but it's very rare. Mostly we're mixtures of Chacham and Tam. But there are people who are clearly, they're predominantly in the world of the Chacham or predominantly in the world of the Tam. And you can tell the difference very, very quickly. And this Maimer of Kluger is giving examples in life and in learning of how the Chacham operates and how the Tam operates. And then we're going to see some beautiful Maimer Kermis from B'nai Sosker and from Rabbi Nachman at the end of the Maimer for this entire teaching that we're learning on the difference between the Chacham and the Tam. So on page 138, HaPoel HaYoytze Mikol Zayis, what comes out from all of this, from our discussion of the two personalities, these two types, of the Chacham and the Tam, is Sha'atam Eino Tiv'i. The Tam, not Eino, he know Tiv'i. But HaTam, he know Tiv'i. That means that the Tam, the way of the Tam is that he lives according to his inborn nature. And in the Israeli way of saying this, although this does not really go with the American use of the word, but originally, we use it a little bit different here in America. There are quite a few words that the Israelis took from us and then they misused them, and they also, it's something else. Originally, in Israel, doesn't mean what original is over here, and they also misspell these words most of the time. Also, which always amazes me that the guy that's doing it, like you get these things from Shulachim that they have. They spent a lot of money to print up, and you see that they spell things wrong. They just have to ask any American or English guy, but you could see them like sitting in the room saying, "I need and then they spell it wrong, and then they make thousands of copies, and it's spelled Brooklyn all the time, Brooklin. And I asked the guy, and he says, "Mayesh, Zebeseda." I said, "What's Zebeseda?" He said, Brooklyn, Kaham in Brooklyn." I said, "I don't care how you say it; it's written with a Y. Why don't you just ask anybody?" No, ani yodeh lichtav et zeh. And then he goes to the printer. The printer also doesn't know. The printer, and he prints Brooklyn, L-I-N, all the time. This is a special chiddush of an Israeli. So originally, beseder, what it means is the explanation that continues. Eina kofif leklolim sheyotzru soivav. He is not bound by the conventions, a conventional behavior of people around him. This does not mean chas v'shalom that he is not living a life al pi halacha, 100% halacha. But he's not meshubed, he doesn't live by the klalim, the ishbet so strong in this. He even uses the word, he uses the word klalim, klali daraisa. This person does not really care what the people around him are doing. It doesn't mean that he's insensitive or he's trying to flaunt something in their faces. It's just, he's not nispol. He's not nispol from the sviva. Ela noiveya kinetias libo. His life issues forth from the inclination of his own heart. That's the meaning here of originali, of tiv'i, being a person who lives according to his teva, according to his nature. Does not, again, with all of the limitations and the gedarim of halacha, but in the world of Yiddishkeit, he's not concerned with how other people and what other people say or how other people do things. Derech Moshe, when it comes to emotions and expressing emotions, Derech Moshe, kishayal loy b'chi, when the tam has an urge to cry. Not that he's demonstrative and he's dramatic. But Yivka, He doesn't have to apologize. He's not embarrassed. When he has his oiris of simcha, he's not embarrassed to clap and to sing. We have a yid like this in the shul. I don't want to say his name to embarrass him, but everybody's friends with him. He epitomizes this midah of tmimus. Epitomizes it. And mitzad crying, and mitzad laughing and singing. It's very, very, very refreshing. Very rare nowadays to have a person who couldn't care less about the impressions that others have, as long as he's doing what's according to halacha, and B, what his heart and his mind are telling him, and he lives in that mahalach. He's happy. So somebody has him come along, the Chacham Ketaina, that what are you so happy about? Did you hear what's going on in the White House? Did you hear what's going on Wall Street? What are you so happy about? And he's not dispelled from these things. He also knows what's going on. Remember, the Tom is not an idiot. He knows what's going on. But he's like what the Maral calls, he lives in that way of pshitas. And Rabbi Nachman, pshitas. What we've been learning. Mismazeg b'chol davar mo'il. He integrates himself. He includes himself. He connects to anything in life, anything in Yiddishkeit, that is mo'il, that has a toelis, that works. It helps. It works. So if he finds, for instance, if he finds that using an English translation of the Siddur, that helps him daven, he doesn't care that the guy, that the yeshivish guy next to him is looking over him and going, what's the matter with you? Even though if you ask the yeshivish guy, what does it mean, kafu b'sahaymas, you know, b'leiv yom, he also can't translate it. But the main thing is that it looks good that he has a Siddur, not only has a Siddur, a lot of little writing in it and all around the things, all kinds of mafarshim, which he never ever once in his whole life looked at. But he has a chashuva looking Siddur. The Tom doesn't care. He has a Siddur. He needs the English. It helps him. It helps him. He could be, he knows Lashon HaKodesh better than the guy next to him. He doesn't care. What are they going to say about him that he has a Siddur with the English on it? And it, he doesn't care. So it helps him daven. What's the nafkamin? Someone's going to look down upon him. He couldn't kill us. Doesn't. He's a lo baba cheshba. Doesn't think of it. B'li cheshboinus shel kovid v'chayotze b'zeh. There's no cheshboinus of kovid, of trying to look a certain way. I his chashvuso b'acherim. He's not taking into consideration the opinions of other people. Brings him to a life of freedom and simcha. The biggest shibud is not paro in Mitzrayim. That's already a long time ago. Baruch Hashem, most of us don't have that. There's still some Jews that live in hard places, but for the most part, there's no paro standing over a person. But you could have your next door neighbor standing over you, or the guy next to you in shul, or you could have you could have whatever public opinion means. And it's a bigger shibud than paro in Mitzrayim. And there, they were only making a schlep. We had to carry bricks and do all kinds of work. The shibudim that people have nowadays make them do much stranger things than schlepping heavy loads. They do stranger things than that because of the shibudim that they have to what other people think and how it looks and so on. You could talk to people about what's the right thing. They're all asking what's the right thing. Then you say, how come you're not doing that? What's going to be and how does it look? Like, who's going to be the first person who's going to stop this insanity of making expensive, you know, affairs and all this stuff with weddings and what goes on and Jews losing all their money and getting into chayvus because of things, and people talk about it, but then the maisa, nothing comes, not nothing, but very little comes out lamaisa to change the metzias of what's been going on over the years with bichlal, with overindulging and so many things with the kids. And when you ask the people, they say, I know, you're right. And all of us, I'm just saying, like, all of us, we say, yes, this is, of course it's crazy. But then not to do it, or to do something that's different. The people who could really afford to do that are the richest people, and the richest people usually don't like to do that. Because when a rich person does something that's different, everybody thinks it's like chashuv. When a schlepper does something that's different, they say he's cheap. This is an old maaseh. So if you want to do something like to make a wedding like they used to make, you know, 30, 40 years ago in Eretz Yisrael on a kibbutz or something, and put out a little bit something, a kibbutz, nothing, and just to have a tremendous, tremendous simcha, and to be happy and so on. Even though everybody says it's the happiest thing, it's the best, those simchas that I had were the best simchas in my life. When I had, there was nothing, and nobody became a Baal Chai for $20,000, $30,000. That's already nothing for so much money, and with all the things and how to dress and how to this and that. And it was the best simchas. So everybody saw it. We all agree. Everybody think about it. Was this the best simcha? That was the best simcha. So what do you say? We all do this. No. Can't do it. Can't do it. There's some invisible force that's preventing us from. And it's just an example with the catering of these other things. It's just an example. All of these things. There are very few people that could just stand up and say, "I'm not in this ball. I couldn't care less what anybody thinks. I'm going to do this." And even if you want to be that way, so your children start to cry that, "Oy vey, why have my parents are weird." Can't do that. It's very, very hard. I had the other way growing up. My father, whatever the oilam was doing, my father always wanted to do, that was a riot to him, that you have to do the other way. Always. And everybody's saying, my father always said the oilam is chagoilam, and it means that it's a riot, that's not the right way. If everybody's doing that, my father always said, then not doing that. And my mother was always pleading with me. My mother likes to be very proper. And my mother's always pleading, "Why can't we do that?" My father said, "Everybody's doing that." Then you said that word to my father, "Everybody's doing that." And after that, he was finished. He's not talking about it anymore. If you said the word, "Everybody's doing it," when I was a kid, I said, "Daddy, everybody in class, everybody in class," then that's no good. That's a bad sign. It's a very bad sign if everybody is in class. The kids say this all the time to their parents. All my friends are this. All my friends are that. And the oilam really is a goylem. That's the truth. Because who made such a thing up? who said, who was kaveya, this kviyas? Who made such a thing? A lot of things like that going on. The schools and different policies in schools. Who makes these things? Who wrote these things up? Where does it say in Tanakh or in Shas or in Shulchan Aruch such things that they come up with such crazy halachas from these things and that, all kinds of rules and regulations? Where? And then once everybody ready, they're keeping it so that nobody can't change this. So we're going to have to make a new place because all of these things. This is the all chachmas. It's without the healthy instincts, the healthy normal instincts that are the trademark of a tam, of tmimus. You have the kids when they're dating, and they have certain in the yeshiva world, there are certain expected behaviors when it comes to dating, and things to do, things to say, and things that are expected with the family, and if you just stop and you analyze any of them individually, say it's crazy, it's totally crazy, totally crazy. That people look at us on the side. Goyim would look at us. The whole way we had, the whole way life has developed, that is taken for granted. That kids, that boys, young men growing up, don't have to work and take care of their families and are not expected to carry their own weight, and that parents are supposed to be buying apartments and Eretz Yisrael and houses over here and putting down payments for houses. So just stop and to ask, who said, where such a thing came into history, such a svara? Where did such a thing come up? How did that start? It's not some point, how did it stop? But how do you stop such a thing from continuing? And then if you try to make a stand, then you're a Rasha. If you say anything that doesn't follow the regular mahalach, then you're strange, you're different, And then the children start to get nervous. They're not going to get a shidduch because we're different, and all of these things. But this is all chachmas. These are all chachmas. And the chachamim are not happy people for the most part. The tmimim are happy people. It's very simple. He doesn't have any need for approval. Doesn't care what people think. That means that to begin with, he's a ben chayrin. He's free. He's free from the biggest slavery that's in the world, the slavery of opinions, of needing approval. The biggest schnorrer is not for money. The biggest schnorrer is the people are schnorring for approval and are schnorring for COVID. Sometimes, Chas HaShem, we look down, you see, especially Yom Kippur, all the armies of Mishulachim, of schnorrers, and they have to never go with the tzatlach to come up to people to collect. There are people who never had, thank God, never had to collect a penny in their lives from anybody. They give money to other people, but they're much bigger schnorrers than those people. Because they're snoring for compliments. They're snoring for approval. They're snoring all the time for COVID. And it's a much, much bigger shiba than what these people in the Bach have to banks and to the mortgages and whatever they have their tzaras. It's a much bigger shiba. Anybody that's been in these parashiyas knows that that's a much bigger shiba. So this person has chayus v'simcha. Uvdas iha yosei kovel l'kina. He's not tied down to any jealousy. He's not jealous of anybody. Like we saw last week from Rabbi Nachum, this is Yanim's chesmen, it's my chesmen. He has a different life, I have my life. He should be happy with what he has. I'm not jealous, I don't want him, what he has. I'm not interested in what he has. Kina destroys a person's life. But people do because of jealousy. Mefake benafshoi chedva toherim. There flows in his soul joy, chedva toher, pure joy. He lives according to the way he understands his life. Even though his surroundings, even though the people around him have made these klolim, have engraved, have created these rules and regulations. We're not talking about halacha chas v'shalom. To be at a simcha recently, where all the conversation was about, because somebody with a shidduch for their daughter, but the guy wears a colored shirt. In other words, they were saying that they were talking about this guy. Another person knew this guy, and the guy's supposed to be a big talmid chacham. He's supposed to be a beautiful person, a big bal midos. But the other one said, "But he has this chisaron. He has this chisaron that he wears a colored shirt. Who made such a thing?" I myself, with my own eyes, I saw Moshe Feinstein wearing a colored shirt. Yeah. Must have my own eyes. With stripes on it. Yeah. Whatever his wife gave him to put on. Who made this thing that a colored shirt says something that you're not religious? Where? What? Who cares? Well, who said such a thing? That a colored shirt makes a person less religious, more religious? So somebody says that there's a way to dress, of course, on Shabbos, and to be Shabbos, the guy. But even then, what is it? If it's neat and it's clean, who said where? So someplace, the Mekubalim have an Indian of wearing white. Okay, we don't. So most of us don't wear white even on Shabbos. I mean, the Shabbos is someone, the Mekubalim, but since the Devichayim, the Ashkenazim, we don't wear all white. Or anything, so what is it an Indian to, it's an Afghan minute to wear this kind of a shirt? So they're ready to pass up a shidduch. It could be a bal midos. It's a talmid chacham. Comes from a very nice family. This he has a problem with him. With a color shirt he has. Most of the chevra are wearing white shirts anyway. They're discarded. So, but this is what's bothering, the color of the shirt. If you're saying it's a simon of some deep problem. It could be he doesn't care what people think so much. And you have to see, does that carry over into other things? It could be a sign of something. I don't know. But stam like this, if everything is good, the guy doesn't wear a white shirt or something, or he wears pants are gray, they're not black or something like that. And it goes the other way too. And if you're sitting with a chevra that chevra is just a, and the chevra's dresses in a more modern lavush, and then one of their chevra decides to dress in a more of a, they decide to dress in a lavush that's more so-called yeshivish or chassidish, and the ones that are modern saying, whoa, what happened over here, what happened? Well, okay, what do they care also about that? Because they want to say that you now lost your credentials as a modern Orthodox Jew because you put on a hat or because you wear white shirts, you're no longer one of us. They're also just as strict. I've seen sometimes more strict by the modern Orthodox, they're more strict with their halachas of tafka not looking a certain way. And if you look that way, what happened? You change the yarmulke, something's wrong. Why did you change the yarmulke? What's going on with that yarmulke? What's going on? What do you care what kind of yarmulke am I? What does it make a difference to the yarmulke? All these things that... And what happens is that, and if you ask anybody, is that the ikkar of human beings? So most intelligent people would say, no, of course not. But, you know, we come from a certain way, and we like it to continue in that way. And so all these funny lashanis that if you analyze and if you stop and you really, if you'd ask the person and follow through questions with these kind of comments and statements about people, you'd say, of course, that everybody would say, this is so silly. Who made such a thing? Since he looks at everybody with an eye in taiva, in a good way, he learns good things from everybody. He's always happy to learn something from another person. Not like most people that say, "Es nishlunzer," he's not one of ours. He's not like me. And because he's not like me, there's nothing I can learn from him. This person, the Tam, if he sees something nice, he learns. He tries to learn from that. That's a nice thing. That's a good mitzvah. I could try to make that part of my life. Because he's not jealous of people. He looks with an ayin tov at everybody. So he's lamed tov mikol adam. Sameach gam mehatov shenizbarach by chaveru. Not only that, when something good happens to the other person, he's happy. He's happy for the other person. Ukulei amer tov. He's a tov. He's a gutte. He's a tov. He's a good person. Dveikusa b'emes, because of his dveik is the truth. He doesn't use language that is slick, like language that is tricky, that could be interpreted this way or that way. He says what's on his mind. He says straight, doesn't make the dre. Everything is just, he talks straight. Vakmumi is not crooked. Leitzonas v'divrei chiduden. He doesn't try to. He has a sense of humor, but he doesn't try to impress people by davka saying something sharp or something that people will be impressed to. He doesn't care about that. Mevakesh meisharim upashtas. The Tam wants the one thing, meisharim, straightness. Pashtas, simple. Lo yipolei sha'oisiyas tam, hinon hepach oisiyas meis. All the Tam wants is not to taste the taste of death. Therefore, the opposite of the letters Tam are the letters meis, memsof, death. Because the Tam is filled with life. He just lives with that chiyas. And according to that, according to the pashtas of life, kial kein molechai, is filled with life. Like the tzaddikim say, the Rebbe Abzushi, who was the model of tmimus, and other tzaddikim said this, that we have to try to learn from little children, from the behavior of little children. When there's something that's bothering the child, he cries. He doesn't say, no, really, everything's fine, everything's okay. But then when you're not looking, he's crashing, complaining. He tells his wife, "I hate this. I hate. I can't stand. I hate this guy in the shul, and I hate the shul, and I hate the rabbi, and I hate the gabbai, and I hate the balkayre, and I hate." And then he comes to the shul, and somebody says, "Is there something wrong?" No. I love it here. This is great. You know, there's so many people like that. Everything is great. Then the second he walks into, even before he comes to the house, the wife is already. Here he comes. She hears the footsteps. When she hears the footsteps, she already knows she's going to get what happened in shul. What happened in shul, that the whole shul is conspiring against him. There's a whole thing against him. But then when you talk to the guy, or somebody that knows him says, "Hey, uncle, everything okay?" "What? No. I would never trade this for anything in the world." It's a certain kind of a person. It's all chochmas. Everything is crooked. Nothing is real. A child, when a child is upset, because, again, he's not suggesting that adults stand like that. You'd have the whole Long Island Railroad. You have everybody crying. Can you imagine? You come home from work, the whole railroad would be crying. Everybody would be crying. Or going to work, maybe coming home would be. But, you know. Yuchal lischayk v'lesmayach. Baby, when he's happy, he laughs, he plays, he has a good time. Zois mishum. And the reason is because a child is attached, not because of bechira. He still hasn't been pulled away from his teva. He's an originali. And in that state of originality, he doesn't have an inyan of what someone thinks or the impression that this makes. That's one of the things that we find most endearing in children, that they're like that. Like a kid could be sitting in the most disgusting mess and doing all kinds of, and you say, "Atalomid bayesh," you're not embarrassed. No, just having a good time. This is great. Doesn't feel anything that what other people think, because he lives in that nekudas ha'etzem shel atzmai. Right, that's such a beautiful thing, to live in the Kudus Ha'etzem Shel Atzmai. To live in that Nakuda of who you are. Ha'etzem Shel Atzmai. Maybe Levushim. A child doesn't live in Levushim. A child doesn't live in Levushim. Al-Kain Yishalev B'Klilais Kazais. Therefore, the child can change from one thing to another thing. It's very easy for him to change, to adapt to a situation, to adjust. The kid could be living one day in a palace. You put him the next day in a little shack, and he could figure out what to do over there and have a good time. He doesn't have any problems with any of this. K'mayichen in the brackets. K'mayichen nira adav ma'od ve'echolos tzadikim. This midah you see very, very strongly ve'echolos tzadikim. You see by tzadikim. Sheyehudim nechnasim lefnehim. Last night, al ke'ev ha'mamar na'avshem, you have Jews that are coming in to the tzaddik, one after the other, crying about their tzaras, and the tzaddik is mamish brokenhearted, listening to the tzaras of other Jews. But tzaddik ko'evim ha'venenach v'nenach b'mirirusam, I saw this with my own eyes on a number of occasions by tzaddikim, with the crying and the crying and the tzibrochen kite over the tzaras of other Jews. U'b'chiluf rega kat, and in a split second, nichnas bal simcha, someone comes, the next person comes in, it's the next person is brought into the room, and this is Rebbe came to get a mazel tov, that we're making a simcha. Ooh, and the tzaddik is like, the tzaddik's face lights up, and he's so excited. In a second, sameachim b'chol leiv, and he lives with that person that came in now, b'chol leiv. Whatever was the last 3 hours with this problem and that problem, this person comes in now and he enters into this person's kishkes, b'chol lev, with a whole heart. He enters into this person's life. I remember it was once years, this is a long time ago, I remember there was a person that I knew that was going through horrible suffering, and I brought him to the Amshnav Zolgazon Zayin. And have you ever been to the Amshnav? Anybody? You buy? How come you buy the Amshnav? Or the Amshnav? It's like from 200-300 years ago. So I was with the Amshnav and. The person was saying over his story, and the Rebbe, with every word, the Rebbe was going, oh, oh, and he turned, he went to the wall, and he was crying like this, sobbing. The person was telling him this, and then one of the children, that was years ago, he had little children, Damshnov, and one of his children came in, and the child came over, Tati, and Damshnov says, oh, Moshe, whatever, I don't remember the name, and he picked him up, and he was like, so if you see this from the outside, you think, well, maybe, like, maybe this is this, God forbid, this is not real. What? How could there be such a thing? He's sobbing and crying, and then the second he sees his kid, he comes over, and the kid comes over, and he lifts him up, and he laughs and plays with him for a minute or two, and then tells him to go back to mommy, whatever. And this is an Indian that a tzaddik, that the tzaddik that lives in that way, he's not living in a diras keva. He lives everything according to the Ratzon Hashem, in total tmimus. That's how the Ishbitz explained the deeper meaning. It's by sukkah, it's semi diras keva. That means that after Yom Kippur, after the whole Shon Yom Kippur, everything is such mature, the whole business, the person isn't stuck, you know, he could be like a child. Same idea as Keva. I don't have to be in a permanent dwelling. I could be in a temporary dwelling. This minute I could be this way. The next minute, that's what's happening the next minute, so I go the next minute, I could be that way. That for most people it's impossible to even ask such a thing. They usually go with moods, and the mood could be for an hour, could be for a day, could be for a week. It makes no difference. During that mood, they're just in that place, and they can't see out of it. The tzaddik is living. The tzaddik lives in a divas haroi, in a temporary dwelling. The fide ratzon Hashem of that moment, then betmimus and bepshitus, he goes with that ratzon Hashem. And when a child comes in, to a child, you don't show a crying, you don't show to make the child upset. You mismeach the child. And he's able to enter into that child's life in a second, to be with that child and to be happy with the child. And the child leaves and he goes back to he returns to the Diras HaRoi, to the temporary, to the sukkah of crying. And this is something that one can see by big tzaddikim, such a hanhaga, how they go. V'amru tzaddikim shakoyach hanah lehazeh naveh mekach shehatzadik nidabek atzmo benishmas hayehudi habo lefonav. And it says in the Svarim, because the tzaddik attaches himself to the neshama of the Jew who's there with him at that moment. He connects to that person in the deepest way. Me'yoseh dovek be'etzem. Since the tzaddik lives be'etzem, mismazik ba'atzmias haneshama umatzova shumatsuyabah. He becomes entirely integrated, and it becomes united, connected, dovuk, to the etzem of the neshama that's there at that moment. Matzah min etzminai. The etzem finds the etzem. Halavush machitzonim. The outside, the external garments, the levushim achitzonim, hasimcha etzar. Joy, tsar, and so on. Achemis chalfim anakla, beikvas hashini shechal be'etzem. Those external simonim, they could change very easily. Beikvas hashini shechal be'etzem, according to the change that is in the etzem, they could change very, very easily. The Chacham is different. Ach HaChacham poil al pi klalei ha'olam. The Chacham lives his life according to the rules. You know, I'm talking about halacha, everybody lives but according to the klalei ha'olam, what the olam says. What the olam says. Al pi klalei ha'olam. Gam k'shehador v'noigir es tivo v'netiyas libo. Even though this klal, this rule, goes completely against his teva. It goes completely against the teva of who he is. Therefore, he could be registered in a certain kind of a place, or he could go to a school or a yeshiva, whatever, even though it's completely connected to his teva. But if the Olam says this is the right thing to do, even though when he's there, he's miserable. Not talking about work. A person has to work. You know, it doesn't have to be happy at work. It's nice if you're happy at work, but a person has to make a pranos. But there are things where a person has choices and he doesn't, and he's not able to go according to his teva and the tias levoi and according to the inclination of his heart. He doesn't allow himself to do that. Loilam lo yuchal lischoik or lifkais. He can never laugh or cry. Him ein hadavar roi lefidas asayvim, unless it fits in with what everybody else is doing. If it's a time to laugh, If the laugh track is on, then you can laugh with the laugh track. If it's time for crying, like they, on the, like on the movie or whatever, on the television show, they press whatever the button is they press, and whatever his sviva is doing, so then he goes with the sviva, he goes with the other people doing. If it's appropriate to cry, he'll cry. If it's appropriate to lift, he'll lift. And because of this, he has thrown out of his life, or he has avoided many things in his life that could help him. That could be of great benefit to him. To him, to his family. Mesibos shel kovid, because of kovid, cheshbonos that he has of kovid, what will other people think? How will this reflect upon me? Mesibos shel kovid. The chesetivius and the lack of being able to live in that way that's natural, according to his nature. His chashvuso ba'acher, his constantly being worried and taking into account what other people are doing and what other people are saying, or thinking, geremes loy kela v'kavolam. It causes him to be in prison and in chains. He lives his life in prison. In chains. Va'atzvus umachayv menela. In sadness and in pain. This is in all the Svarim of Kook, thousands and thousands of times. We're learning about this. The meaning of on Erev Shabbos of believing in one's life. That's what that's about. And when one does not live according to, when one does not believe in his own natural personality, in his own natural talents, in his own natural way. So he becomes a prisoner of other people's ways and thoughts and impressions and ideals. And Mimela, he can't be happy. Because a person who's not connected to the etzem of who he is unhappy. He's unhappy. You can have, as we've spoken about so many times, there are simple people, the farmers and peasants and laborers working in construction sites and just doing manual labor. They're happy people. They enjoy that. They like being out in the fresh air. They like this kind of work. And they're happy people. And they live their years in this world, for the most part, being happy with who they are and what they do. They don't have any big delusions and what people say you have to do like this and you have to be like that. And they don't care. They make enough of what they have to live. And they're happy people. Sadness comes from a person being far away from himself. Being away from oneself, of course, is being away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rav Kook speaks about. V'ani b'soy ha'gayla. Yecheskel said, I am in Golas. When the I is in Golas, when the essence of who I am is not where it's supposed to be, then the I of who I am, who I really am, is in Golas. So then the person is always sad, and always. He lives within a general, in a cloud of unhappiness and sadness and being unfulfilled. And then, of course, the greatest tragedy is that he marries according to what other people expect and what other people think he should marry and how he should marry. Where it says that this is the kind of girl and from this type of a family and so on, that he has to dafka marry this kind of a person. And then he gets a little bit older and wakes up and feels that this person I'm married to is no shaykhis to me. I don't feel anything for this person. I just went along with this whole thing because everybody was getting, at that time, was getting married, and that's the kind of people, you know, that's what everybody said I should marry, and I went along with that. And then you look and you say, I don't even know who this person is. I'm no shaykhus to this person. And the rude awakening of being married to a stranger. This is happening all the time. You married somebody according to what other people thought is the right. And what's good and what would make you happy, and this is a total stranger. So there's atzvus and machayiv, sadness and the pain that comes with that, with understanding that and waking up to that. And heyoseh kovel lekina, and because of that, this person is also very, since he's so concerned of what other people think and what other people have and what other people do, and he measures himself according to these klolim, these rules. So he always is jealous of other people. It's a kovel lekina. He's always bound to envy and jealousy. And it's machilosam arayim. And this causes him to spend his life eating a lot of mara in his life. Eino hatzara, the way that he looks with an eye in sorrow, the way that he looks at everybody with an eye in sorrow. He can't learn from the good and what's beautiful in every person. No, he pushes away people, he rejects people, he looks down on other people, he's jealous of other people, and he corners himself into this tiny little dal amas of the life, if not even his own life. And even the good that's in him, because he has good, but even the good that's in him, ain't a masamchai. Why? Because the good that's in him is not good according to other people. It's not good according to the people that he's trying to impress. Therefore, he considers that to be part of his of what makes him low and what makes him a person who is polluted with something that's not good. Because what's good about him, and he, to even see the toiv in himself. To see the toiv in himself, he doesn't. He measures himself by what other people think, so he doesn't even see the toiv in himself. So even that toiv that's in himself, he doesn't enjoy. He doesn't believe that it's possible right now in his life to change what was through tshuva. One can change the past through tshuva, and to change his course for the future. He's stuck. Also, terribly depressing for a person to feel that they feel stuck. Koev esachayim b'mkayim l'smoich b'hem. He goes through his life in pain instead of in joy. Tassam is b'nei b'nafshu shalom, the bottom of 138. If a person looks deeply into his own nefesh, yavchin b'chol psiy v'tzad poigish hiru shal chachmanis. He'll see that every step along the way, there's this little bit of a chachma that comes into his head, into his heart. A chachma. He's not willing to let go and to live according to the emes haruah, to the clear truth. To live and to go with that nekud of pashtus and of tmimus. Again, he's not saying that you have this crazy thought like you want to get up and scream in the middle of a library or something. You should do that. I'm not talking about doing something stam. So lo shnayim heim hachochem batam. The truth is that we're not talking about two separate people. Although you have such chilukim, but we're talking about what? Kim neshama achas. Haklulim in nefesh elokis. Each and every one of us has a nefesh elokis. And the nefesh elokis is b'chinas tam. All the nefesh elokis wants is pashtus and tmimas and simcha. Nefesh elokis. And then we have another part of ourselves that's called the nefesh bahamas. This is what we're learning about in Tanya. The nefesh bahamas, she aluka beklipas haseichel. The nefesh bahamas has been tainted by the klipa of the intellect. Intellect doesn't mean intelligence. Intelligence is not a klipa. But here we're talking about chachma, like in Yiddish, a chacham, that klipa of shrewdness, the klipa of being a calculating person. When I grew up, I had my two closest friends when we were kids. One of them was mamash a chacham, the other was mamash a tam. And right when we were starting to drive, we all started driving, and the chacham, in those days there was no GPS, and the chacham, he always had like a cheshbon of there are 11 lights, and and that right turn is like this, and that left turn is a long left turn signal, the green, the red, it's very long over there, and he always had, like, wherever he went, he was always hacking for half hour about how to go and where this and that. And the other guy was just the opposite. The other guy was always like laughing and happy. He always says, let's just go. We have to sit here for half hour talking about your directions. Can't we just go already? So Terry says that this guy that says, let's just go. So he does get occasionally for a blunder. I'm still friends with him. He gets occasionally lost, but he just is a happier guy. And it doesn't make him so crazy. He gets lost a little bit, you know. The other guy, though, when he gets lost, if something happens, oh, now he has the GPS, but when this guy, with the GPS also, he's not so happy. You know, these people, they don't get, they're not so happy with the GPS. Because they always say the GPS is... He's a low yutzluch, my GPS. He's not, I'm more chosher than my GPS. So they also have tinyus with the GPS, these people. But this guy, so if this guy, if the chacham, if he makes a wrong turn, or if he comes there and then a mazel that exit was closed on the highway or something. He made all these hachanas for an hour, how to go. And then it turns out that exit is closed, and everybody in the car will start to laugh, right? Like, what happened? And he's, oh, he's angry that it didn't work out. Or he said, we're going to go to this place, and we're going to go to this restaurant, we're going to go to that, and if you go between, like, 4:30 and 5, there's nobody there yet. And he said, but we're hungry now. He says, no, 4:35, that's the time. Between 4:30 and 5. And then when you get there, and also, oh, can't we just go eat? No, between 4:30 and 5. And then when you get there, there's like a line outside the door. And the guy's like, is angry at everybody. And who told the other people this side? You know? It's just a certain... And it's so interesting because I don't see so much. He moved further away. But every now and then I see him. He's such a lichtiger person. Whenever I see him, he has two children that have difficulties, very, very big difficulties. When you talk to him, how the kids, Baruch Hashem, children, he tells me stories about the kids and he's happy. And he's such a person. He was like that when he was a little kid. That's how he was when he was a little kid. Everything was, according to that moment, he lived in a Divas Haroi, Baruch Hashem, it's good. And the other one also always with this, everything's with the kinds of diyukim and chachmas and so on. It's a different. But everybody has a nefesh al kis and nefesh al bahamas, and the nefesh al kis wants only pashtus and tamimas and simcha. Can you imagine if you asked the nefesh al kis if it were possible to talk to the nefesh al kis? What do you say about a striped shirt down there? You have a problem with a striped shirt? Nefesh al kis? Think about it. You see, by Baruch Ber, Zahasav Kosh Lavroch, by Baruch Ber Leibovich, the tmimus, all the stories about Baruch Ber, even though he was a genius, he was such a genius. Him and his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker, everything was such a tmimus. The way that they dressed in the Chofetz Chaim, the tmimus of the Chofetz Chaim. It doesn't mean that people try to make believe they tell stories that the Chofetz Chaim didn't know what was going on. It's so not true. The Chofetz Chaim was up on everything. Everything. He was... Everything, he knew everything. But everything was with such a tmimus and such a pashtus. I remember I heard from my Rebbe that he remembers when the Chofetz Chaim came to his town. And he said that the whole town, all the men, women and children, the non religious, everybody came to see the Chofetz Chaim, and he spoke in the big shul. And the Chofetz Chaim was already very old, and they had to pick him up, and they had to put him. He was so short that they had to put him next to the omelet. They had to put a little stand to put him onto a stand. And everybody says that he remembers the Chofetz Chaim wore a cap. He didn't wear a rabbinical hat. He wore a cap. That's also not yeshivish, by the way. He wore a cap, and everybody said that the Chofetz Chaim's cap. So he was dashing Shabbos to thousands of people. And he remembers everybody crying. The Chofetz Chaim is talking about Shabbos and about Tznius. The non-religious people, they're all crying. And it was going on, a whole scene. And the Chofetz Chaim said, wore this cap, and the cap was like on his nose. They couldn't see his eyes. The cap was like this on his nose. And Mary said, what was with that cap? So they said that as the Chofetz Chaim, he had this old hat, and he got older, so he was getting shrinking. And they wanted to get him a new hat, but he said he doesn't have any problems with this hat. He's wearing it for all the years, and he likes the hat, and there's no reason to waste money on a hat. So then he used to put, and during the week they put tissues in his hat. But on Shabbos he didn't want to go out he didn't want to walk in the street with having tissues in his hat. He didn't want to go with tissues. So on Shabbos the hat was on his nose. He was sitting there talking. He was on his nose. Remember, the Rebbe told over the mice. He was telling us how they had to carry the Chofetz Chaim down in his chair from upstairs to bring him down, and they were bidding who would have the schus. The two, three guys would have the schus to carry the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim caught on to this. He heard that they were talking about this, and then he said he refused to come down, and that he's not going to come down unless they stop this Indian. And he said how some bachurim went up and they carried the Chofetz Chaim down in the chair, and the way that he looked, and he was described the pashtus of the Chofetz Chaim, and everything that he did and everything that he said. And the simcha that was my rebbe was Reb David Lifshitz, Zechusar of Kosher Vrachim. So anyway, it was the simcha and the pashtus and everything that he did and everything. I was once talking to him, learning. I was standing on the corner, and all of a sudden Reb David said, "Oi, oi!" And I didn't know what happened. And he starts to, he's holding his hat and he's running across Amsterdam Avenue because he saw that his wife was pushing the shopping cart and was holding a bag, and he went to take the bag from her. Everything was natural. It wasn't, well, maybe some guy's going to be looking for the window and it's not Kavod HaTorah. It wasn't like, he didn't live that way. Even, of course, Kavod HaTorah is an important thing, and he lived in a way, a Kavodic way. But the pashtus is, that's the Nefesh HaLakis talks the language of pashtus. The Nefesh HaBahamas always talks a language shrewd and clever and cheshbainus. So the whole problem began with the Eitz Hadas. Before the Eitz Hadas, before we ate from the tree, before the Eitz Hadas, green light, red light. Before the Eitz Hadas, Adam lived in the way of Tmimus. Nekiyas Daita, clean. His heart was simple and was pure. The chate caused it to be this inyan of sichlius, of cheshbainus. Vatipakachna einei shneim, and their eyes became filled with pichus, means cleverness, chachmas. Pichas seichus leiloka b'kaidem achate. Rashi says linyan chachma dibrakosim. So what do you think? Adam Rishon and Chava weren't smart before that? Of course they were smart. That's not intelligence. Pichas means cleverness, shrewdness, cheshbainus. That's what Rashi says. Lini nachoch m'dibakosu. Me'az kami yitzovan ruach v'tzar bol ha'olam. And since that day, how much sadness and depression is in the world. Om b'svarim kadosh m'sheish kami gevanim l'gehanim. And the svarim says there are different types of gehanims. Yesh gehanim shalaysh or shalag. There's a gehanim of fire, there's a gehanim of snow, of coldness. Yisurei guf. Physical suffering. There's a certain Gehenim, a special Gehenim, of having too much intelligence. Again, it doesn't mean to be bright. Too much cleverness. Too much chachmas. It's a Gehenim. It's a Gehenim. There was a Yid that I hadn't seen in a while, and he's also a chacham. And I saw him yesterday. I saw him on Purim. And I went over to him to give him a hug, and I said, "I haven't seen, how you doing?" He says, "Ah, don't ask, my uncle died in Yerushalayim." I says, "Purim." So okay, he's must tell me he's a father. It's a bad thing, but I said, "I haven't seen in a long time." I felt like Purim. I went to hug the guy. I said, "What's wrong?" Because he says, "Ah, no, you know how they talk to Chacham." I said, "What is it?" He says, "Well, my uncle so and so." I said, "Yeah." He said, "He was nifted today in Yerushalayim." That was the end. All right. I hope she had the service. It's nice to see you. I don't know what to... He doesn't have to tell me that. Like there was some sort of a mitzvah to say to me. I'm not. I don't have to sit shiva chas v'shalom for his uncle. What does he have to tell me? He told me, I said, Shreach and Purim. So he has to say, my uncle died in Yerushalayim. You remember my uncle? I remember from like 35 years ago. I remember his uncle. I haven't seen him. My uncle, you remember? I said, yeah, he died. They also always say it that way. They don't let you know right away that my uncle died. They say, you remember my uncle in Yerushalayim? My uncle so-and-so. I said, yeah, he died. They do it that way for more of an effect. You know what I mean? It's like, if you say right away, my uncle died, then it's, you know my uncle? Yeah, he died. They bring you up, you know what I mean? And then boom. So said Mahalach. So behem nichva hasochel bereisim shel seichel ein manoach. The fool, he says, the fool is burned and boiled by this seichel that's ruining his life. Ein manoach, he has no rest from the seichel. Again, he does not mean from being intelligent or informed. From this sichlius of the chacham, from chachmas, the chacham has no rest. And the Shem will continue next Monday.